88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, yeah, it's me. I am back again for some more fun. It's time to have some spooky fun, right? So we're going to have some spooky fun today on the show as I'm going to take you on a tour through the back rooms. And that's going to be a kind of a continuing thing. We're going to do a little bit of a, I guess they call it creepypasta on the internet, what them youngins say. As we're going to cover that for the next couple of weeks between the back rooms and some more fun next week. That's kind of what I've got focused on. We're not really going to get into news or trailer park because I feel like the news kind of dates the show. Although there has been some fun things going on, and we'll probably look into some stuff later. In fact, I did see the Robizen company has developed a robotic Buzz Lightyear toy that looks really, really cool. And it sounds to be actually voiced by Tim Allen. And it really neat. They could say it's almost like having a real Buzz Lightyear that is supposed to be in the living toy there right with you. It looks very cool. I bet it's very, very expensive. But there's some video online if you look that up. But I thought about putting that into the show, but I was like, you know what? I don't have a whole lot of time to record. I just want to be able to have a fun show. So let's go. What have I been watching? Well, hey, what have I been watching? We've recorded another episode of Watching Movies with My Pastor. And because of the season, we watched, well, half of The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. That's right. A classic Disney animated film. Well, we watched half of it. But we watched, of course, can you guess, the Ichabod half, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And I've just released that episode out. And I've also made sure that that podcast is now should be just about anywhere that you find a podcast. There was a few other steps I needed to take to make sure it's on Odyssey and all kinds of iHeartRadio everywhere. Just making sure that podcast is out there and available for you to check it out and have some fun with us watching some movies. Watch along with us. And if you'd like to have a little bit of the sound of the movie to be able to make sure you're in the same place we are, that we do have an exclusive account on that as well. Also, if you're a Patreon member of the Fandom Nexus, you'll get those episodes, those bonus episodes, extended episodes, really, of not only this show, but also of the Watching Movies with My Pastor show. You'll get that as well. So, definitely look into that if you're wanting to have some fun with us. I've been having some fun doing that show. It takes a lot of work editing and put that together compared to this show. This show, it's, you know, gathering the information and everything and trying to maybe sometimes I haven't gotten to have much for co-hosting. It's kind of hard to balance my time with other people. So things are not quite working out the same way they used to, but we're still having a good time here. But yeah, that's what I've been watching. That's the only special thing I really got to watch this week other than taking some time to watch The Great Pumpkin. Watched a couple of Muppet Show episodes, of course, with Vincent Price and Alice Cooper as guest stars. Trying to get some of my regular viewing, you know, of specials in. I think I fell asleep trying to watch the Garfield Halloween. I was tired. I found myself frequently worn out. A couple of movies I want to get around to watching. I have a copy of Vertigo and I think Rear Window as well. Some old Jimmy Stewart, Alfred Hitchcock movies that I own digitally and I've just never gotten around to watching them. And I was saving them for a good time when you want to watch a suspenseful thriller. So what have I been playing? After I've completed Epic Mickey, I was looking for some scary stuff to play. And so I started playing the remake of Dead Space, which if you would like to watch any of that, the Neverland official gaming channel has some footage of me trying to figure my way around Dead Space. Also playing a little bit of Phasmophobia on my Steam account, which I'd kind of like to use a regular controller. I kind of wonder if I can do that instead of a mouse and a keyboard, because I'm more comfortable with a controller in my hand, really. Also along the way, played a free game that was on Steam, Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion, which was kind of goofy, kind of cute, but gets kind of creepy as you go along. But you know, there's like 1,000 rooms to go through, and I got almost to 200 of them before something got me. But you can watch me playing with that as well on the Neverland Official Gaming Channel and take a look, see if you'd like to get that one for free. Of course, after you get the main game for free, there's like alternate levels or different games that the developer has made that have a small price. Overall, pretty good for an independent game. You know, a lot of these indie games are really definitely more cost effective and cost efficient for the amount of fun you're going to have for the price you're going to pay. So, you know, small developers are really, they get more creative. They're not trying to make a AAA. They're just trying to make an experience. And I watch a lot of videos of people playing some of these indie scary type games and a lot of other things I would like to try. And we'll talk about some independent games later on in the show. Well, that's what I have been playing and watching. And from there, we're pretty much ready to move into main content. I got a lot of things that I'm going to share with you. But I do want to remind you all about Dubby while I have the chance. And you'll find the link, of course, at neverlandpodcast.com. Find the big words that said Dubby and just click on that. Or if you go to, I don't have the website up in front of me, but just so click on that link. If you happen to be a gamer and you want to have an energy boost, but you don't want to have the jitters and you'd rather have something that's got good vitamins and stuff like that, this is a drink powder, lots of different flavors. You mix it with water. You can even buy a cup if you want to have a special cup to mix your Dubby drinks together, and you have a nice, healthy type of drink that'll give you a good, nice energy with good vitamins and stuff like that, and not jittery caffeine and stuff like a Monster Energy drink or something like that. It's good, healthy stuff, and you'll get a nice discount if you just go right through my link right there. And also, of course, Podgagement, Daniel J. Lewis's very handy feature. If you happen to be a podcaster, you want to be able to get some useful tools for finding your reviews. Podgagement is the way to go. I have a link for you right there at neverlandpodcast.com. But now let's jump into some, I guess, creepypasta. All right. So The Back Rooms is a popular creepypasta born from internet culture that has captivated online audiences with its eerie premise of a seemingly infinite labyrinth of yellow, poorly lit rooms. A detailed history of its origins, popular lore, and influence on pop culture follows. So it has its origins in social media back in 2019. The Backrooms concept originated from a post on 4chan's paranormal board on May 12th of 2019. A user asked others to post unsettling images that evoke a feeling of liminal space, places that seem familiar but are strange, empty, or surreal. In response, an anonymous user shared a low-resolution photo of an empty room with yellow wallpaper, buzzing fluorescent lights, and stained carpet. The accompanying text read, "If you're not careful and you noclip out of the reality in the wrong places, you'll end up in the back rooms, where it's nothing but the stink of old moist carpet, the madness of mono yellow, the endless background noise of fluorescent lights at maximum hum buzz, and approximately 600 million square miles of randomly segmented empty rooms to be trapped in. God save you if you hear something wandering nearby, because it sure as heck has heard you." This post sparked widespread interest, with many users adding their interpretations and expanding on the idea, which quickly spread across platforms like Reddit, YouTube, and TikTok. Now, if you don't know what it means to no clip, those of you that happen to be gamers, you might understand this, especially if you're someone like me who found a way to cheat a little bit on Skyrim, where you no clip and you go outside of the boundaries where you're supposed to be in the game. You kind of go through a wall. And some people make cheat codes to be able to do this kind of thing. But no clipping is to pass through a wall of the game's reality and end up somewhere where maybe, you know, like in Skyrim, there's an area in a village that you can sneak out and get to the inventory of a shopkeeper. And you can just kind of grab what you need out of his inventory. Plus, you can also grab all of his money and come back and he sells his stuff back to him. And yeah, it's kind of wild and fun and some stuff you could do. It's kind of a way to cheat, but that's what no clipping means. So now to no clip out of reality, at one point I heard one way to no clip out of reality is to fall asleep at work. And I guess you'd wake up in the back rooms, but I don't know if you're supposed to fall through a wall. A lot of different stuff I've seen where there's like a portal or something that people find or whatever. There's a lot of videos about it, which I'm sure we'll get to. I've had some help to write up this page. So at its core, the backroom taps into the fear of isolation and disorientation. The idea suggests that by accidentally no clipping, which, as I said, is a gaming term phasing through a wall or a floor due to a glitch, one can fall out of reality into the backrooms. Once inside, escape seems impossible, and the environment constantly shifts in unpredictable ways. Over time, the community has created a rich, collaborative mythology, expanding the backrooms into an elaborate universe with multiple levels and entities. Here's some of those features. So you have level 0, the lobby. And this is the most iconic level, the original yellow dimly lit room. It seems infinite with no windows, no doors. Can you find the way? It leaves you with what interesting problem to find a way out. I butchered that one, didn't I? It contains the oppressive hum of flickering lights. And you've heard the fluorescent lights where you have that. It gets kind of annoying when it's almost like when you're in the gym in school and you have those big and the more powerful fluorescent lights and they're all humming. And if you didn't have any other noise in there, all you'd hear is this droning. Which I kind of got familiar with when I was working as a school portrait. Life Touch. I was working for Life Touch. I was taking school photos, and frequently we'd set up in a library or even a theater. Or not really a library, but the gymnasium or a theater, sometimes a classroom. But when we'd be in the gym, we'd hear that hum when we didn't have kids around. It was just us, and that hum was just going on. So imagine that it's really loud, and it just keeps going, and it's oppressive. Prolonged exposure to this area in the lobby leads to psychological torment, with travelers beginning to hallucinate. Then you have level 1, the warehouse. This level features dimly lit hallways, puddles, and industrial machinery. It's said to be slightly safer, but still fraught with danger, including unpredictable shifts and layout. Some things I've seen about the lobby, they talk about if you were to go walking straight in the lobby, you'd eventually find yourself right back where you started from. Like the rooms move and change. And I've even heard say that the moist carpet that's creating that smell, it's not water, but nobody knows what that liquid is. So people keep expanding in this. I love the creativity people have when they do these sort of things. So then you have entities. These are various monstrous beings, such as hounds, which are aggressive creatures that crawl on all fours. That really freaks some people out, having stuff crawl around on all fours at them. Smilers, those are beings with glowing smiles. Frequently, it's just eyes and a smile, just big and glowing in the dark. They said to lurk within there, of course. These creatures add to the constant tension, as anyone wandering the back rooms has got to avoid the entities and the environment itself. There are infinite levels. The back rooms have grown to include countless fan creative levels, some as surreal as level 37, the pool rooms, which is a seemingly endless expanse of indoor pools, which I rather kind of enjoy seeing. There's a lot of games, and there is a particular YouTuber, and I don't think I have him mentioned in here. But there is one particular YouTuber who's kind of become the guy who's pretty much makes things canon. He's created these videos and animations which look pretty realistic, but he makes it look like old 1980s VHS footage. So it can make your animation look a bit more real because it hides some of the discrepancies of your animation. But he'll make things where a scientific team is trying to explore the back rooms, and that's where you'll have the scientists that'll go through like a portal into the back rooms, and they have, you know, have a trail. But the pool rooms are really kind of neat. I've seen some indie game stuff where they have the pool rooms, and imagine you have water slides. It's like a water park, but you don't know where the slides start, but you see them all ending in the pools. But the fun thing is with doing the research and looking at different videos, a lot of the photos that inspire some of these rooms are real places. One person has found the yellow room, and I've seen people were saying, hey, well, here it is. It's actually this place that was this little kids area or whatever, and it's kind of just fell in disrepair. But if you look at this one angle, you can see that shot. And the pool rooms, part of that comes from a Japanese subway that was nice and clean and pristine, and they had some flooding in there, and someone took a picture. The water is like super nice and clear, but it's got this tile from being in a subway, this tile walls and everything, and that's kind of what the look of the pool rooms look like. And one particular game, I can't believe it's not Escape the Backrooms. I think it's a different one, Backrooms, but they have the pool room that expands. It's this peaceful, serene, almost outdoors where it's in the ocean, but you have these pools that you can go through but they're on platforms that you're going over like this giant ocean. And there's these windmill farm type things. Just really, really nice to behold. And there's nothing terrifying in that part. I don't know what level of pool rooms that's supposed to be, but you also have level, and this is a large number, but there's an ominous numerical reference evoking a sense of cosmic horror. It's 922-337-203-685-477-5807. No idea what that number means. So YouTube and found footage horror has been popping up, of course. The eerie aesthetic and limitless potential of the Backrooms has inspired creators on platforms like YouTube. One of the most notable projects is Kane Pixels. I think that might be the one that I'm referring to. The Backrooms found footage 2022, which brought the concept to life with unsettling visuals and a narrative style reminiscent of analog horror. The video received widespread acclaim and millions of views, helping to reignite interest in the mythos. Kane's work has since led to a collaboration with A24 for a potential Backrooms movie in development. Now, that's one of the things I wondered about, because we did eventually, there was a Slender Man movie, and at least one person is able to take credit for the creation of Slender Man. And unfortunately, with that event that happened in the news where involving three teenage girls, I'm not going to get into it because we don't like to share nasty stuff, but I think that really hurt the potential of the Slender Man storyline, and I don't think his movie turned out very good. From what I've heard, it didn't turn out. So I don't know if Kane would be the one who's going to get credit for stuff in the background. So, I mean, nobody really knows who posted the original photo. It was done anonymously, and it came up with that first idea. But people have contributed to it, you know, for a long time. But he's the one in collaboration with the Backrooms movie, so I guess they would go with his concept. So several game developers have embraced the Backrooms as a concept for exploration in horror games, and these games often feature procedurally generated environments, emphasizing the disorienting, endless nature of the Backrooms. Now, procedurally generated, that's typically, I think, that became famous with the first Diablo game, where every time you start a new game, the dungeons are fixed anew, so it's not going to be the same game twice, right? So that way you can always go in the Backrooms and you don't know where you're going, right, with these games. So one of the notable ones, Enter the Backrooms, as I mentioned, that's a survival horror game that explores multiple levels of the Backrooms. And that one, that might be the one that I actually have looked at, that I really liked their pool room, and it was on the ocean. That might be the one. I'd have to, there's so many now, it's hard to tell. The Backrooms game, which is an atmospheric experience where players must escape the labyrinth while avoiding entities. And then one of the bigger ones I've been seeing lately is Escape the Backrooms, and that's a multiplayer game that combines explorations with jump scares and survival mechanics. And I have seen groups of people going to play in the Escape the Backrooms, and the developer making that is always adding new levels, which is one of the convenient things with the lore of the Backrooms, how it's got an expansive amount of levels. You can always come up with more and add more things onto your game. Now, these games reflect the do-it-yourself ethos of indie horror, where immersive environments and existential dread take precedence over conventional narratives. So the Backrooms is, of course, like I mentioned, found a home on TikTok. The users are creating short videos, and they mimic the unsettling vibe. And there's the rise of a hashtag Backrooms trends, and there's like liminal space aesthetics. But things have become popular, and they tap into feelings of nostalgia and anxiety. And part of that nostalgia and anxiety, remember, liminal spaces are places that seem familiar, but something seems just off about it. And even some photos I've seen that people have used as a liminal space, there's a hotel, I believe it was in London, around Heathrow Airport, that if you were to look at this picture, it looks like an outdoor, like the side of a thing. It looks like there's grass, but yet you see a ceiling. But it's actually on the inside of this hotel. And if you were to look at one hotel room across the other side, you're seeing the other side of the hotel. And down below, it's just like this fake turf. And I've even seen some liminal space things. There's like a retirement home that they've built. It's completely indoors, but they've made it to try to look like an outdoors. And like each room for the residents is kind of a cabin. And so it's something that looks like a familiar thing, but it's just weird because you're indoors and you have a ceiling where the sky is. So that would be like a liminal space. Something is familiar and maybe a bit nostalgic, but it's not quite right. It's different. So these have become popular. Backrooms phenomenon actually ties into broader cultural themes, like I mentioned, liminal spaces. So this is the idea of transitional places. They feel both familiar and strange. They've mentioned stuff like empty malls or school corridor at night. And empty malls are becoming more common. I've seen a lot of videos, probably because of my research, watching videos on the backrooms, where they have old malls and they go and explore, they call them abandoned, but there's usually like still something going on. Where I work up in St. Joseph, Missouri, there's still a mall, kind of a neighbor to the station, the East Hills Mall. And I actually seen a video featuring it. I've been in there. They have a food court that's still pretty functional. And some of my coworkers have gotten some halfway decent Chinese food. I didn't think it was that good. I've had much better Chinese food. I don't really like even the Hy-Vee's Chinese food that much. So, but that kind of fast food Chinese, not very good, I think. But there was one in there and I wanted to go try it. And I went in and looked and I kind of looked around the mall and it's mostly empty. I mean, there's not a lot of stores in there, but there's a few. But the mall is still active. And before COVID and before I started working there, we used to apparently do a Halloween event where all of us working at the station would set up a trick-or-treat thing in the mall. Well, you know, I bet some of you and your kids, you went to the mall to trick-or-treat. My wife has talked about when she used to go to the mall because she kind of grew up kind of away from a lot of civilization. Her nearest neighbor was far off, so her parents would take them to like their grandparents' neighborhood and then also take them to a mall. And she says the main thing she remembers about trick-or-treating in the mall is waiting in line. And that's, I think, that has evolved now to more of the trunk-or-treat environment because parents want to take their kids somewhere where it's kind of safe and you can just go and trick-or-treat, get a lot of candy. And so a lot of churches done that because they like, okay, well, we'd love to have you come by here and we'll tell you about the church. We'll give you some candy. We'll have some fun. It'll be great. And my church is actually where it's the first year where Pastor Philip is pastor. This is the first year we've done a trunk-or-treat. Will be this year. So if you happen to be anywhere near the Kansas City, Clay Como area, come on by this Halloween and we'll be sure to get you some candy. It'll be great. So the urban isolation and existential fear, this is the fear of being lost in an indifferent, infinite space, resonating with modern anxieties about disconnection and the loss of control. This also, of course, you have collaborative storytelling, and that's the Backrooms highlights the internet's ability to create community-driven fiction with multiple creators adding layers of depth to a shared mythology, that which is similar to how Slender Man has evolved. Of course, Slender Man does have an initial creator who has been able to benefit, you know, there's a Slender Man game that's an official game where you're collecting like notes and stuff. And I have played it. I don't think I've managed to complete it. I think I got myself killed. But I have played it. It is available for PlayStation. I think I was able to play it on my account, the PlayStation Plus account. That is available in a lot of different places for you to check out. It is very interesting. But this has become a defining example of modern internet folklore, and it began as a single eerie photogram on a niche forum that grew into a sprawling collaborative mythos that influences horror fiction, indie gaming, and digital art. Its success demonstrates how social media platforms enable the creation of unsettling, immersive worlds that capture the imagination of a global audience. And so see, social media is good for something after all, because we get enough creative people together and they can create something entertaining and everybody is having a good time with it, and it's evolved, of course, like video games and YouTube. It's nice when something like that happens where everybody gets creative and tells stories together. So I appreciate that aspect of it, and I thought it'd be fun to sit and share some of that with you all. So next week I'm going to talk about the SCP Foundation, which is similar to the Backrooms, and some games have actually tied them together and mixed them, which is very exciting for some people. But that's going to wrap up. I know it's a very short show. I just wanted to talk on this and have some fun. And I don't have a lot of time to make long shows so much anymore. Things have been just really kind of busy. But who knows? Maybe things will slow down eventually and we'll have some longer shows. But of course, longer shows mean basically I'm just adding some like news or whatever to everything. And that just dates the show. But you know what? Let's throw in another public domain radio show right here before we call it a day. How about that?
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back right after these messages.
Boris Karloff on Inner Sanctum Mystery. Brought to you by the makers of Carter's Pills.
Good evening, friend. Let me welcome you once more to the Inner Sanctum. This is Raymond, your host. Come in, won't you, and sit down? No, I'm not being polite. I'd prefer you to sit, you see. Because within the next 5 minutes, you're going to be so weak in the knees that you won't be able to stand. Inner Sanctum Mysteries again has the pleasure of bringing you the famous star of radio, screen, and stage, now featured in the current Broadway success, Arsenic and Old Lace, Boris Karloff. This evening, Mr. Karloff appears in Robert Newman's dramatization of Edgar Allan Poe's famous story, The Telltale Heart. Presented for your entertainment by the makers of Carter's Little Liver Pill, the best friend to your sunny disposition.
And now our story. A story based on a tale by the greatest master of the macabre that ever lived, Edgar Allan Poe. The story of a man who could hear not only every sound on earth, but even things that don't exist. So, turn down the lights, call in a friend or neighbor to keep you company, and listen to Boris Karloff as Simon in A Telltale Heart. It's early evening. The sun is just setting behind a range of low hills. On top of the nearest hill is a huge rambling building surrounded by park-like grounds. A road winds from its gates down to the little village below. Down this road comes a man. He's tall, gaunt, his hair snow white. He's so busy with his thoughts that he doesn't see the small, dark man who sits by the roadside. But just as he is about to pass him...
Good evening.
Huh? Oh, why, good evening.
Nice evening, isn't it?
Nice? Why, it's the most wonderful, perfect evening I'll ever know this side of heaven.
You don't say.
And you can't know what it's like to feel as if you'd just risen from the dead. As if your tomb was opened. And you were told that you could return to the world that you knew and loved.
Can't I?
You can't. You see, my name is Simon. I was a musician. 2 years ago, I went stone deaf. Suddenly. Completely. Do you know what deafness means to a musician? It's like dying. Or worse, like dying and knowing that you're dead. Oh, I went to doctors, but they could do nothing for me. But finally, one of them sent me to see the doctor who has the place up on the hill here.
Dr. Adair?
Yes, Dr. Adair. He kept me with him for 6 months, and now I'm going home again.
He cured you? You can hear?
Hear? Listen. Listen hard and tell me what you can hear right now.
Nothing very much. The wind? Cricket?
Cricket and the wind. Do you know what I can hear? I can hear the grass growing. The sap rising in the trees. I can hear the stars moving in their courses. I can hear things that no man ever heard before. Now, do you know why I said that this was the most wonderful evening that ever was?
Yes, Simon. But I knew why before. You see, I just left the place up on the hill myself.
You left there? You mean...
When I was taken there, I was blind.
Oh. Your eyes, yes. I haven't noticed before, but they are strange. Shall we walk on together?
Simon? Just where did you plan to go?
Well, I've been thinking about that for weeks now. All the weeks when I couldn't leave my room. I must get used to being able to hear again. Gradually. From my window, I could see an old mill just this side of the village.
Yes, it's deep in the woods, deserted. There's moss on the water wheel. and the door hangs open by one hinge.
You mean that you can see it from here?
My eyes have become as good as your hearing. You thought of going there, living there?
For a while, until I was ready to return to the world. Oliver, why don't you come with me? Then when we are both ready, we can go back together to the world.
I could do that.
Think of what it's going to mean, how much we're going to be able to help people. You with your sight and I with my hearing.
Help them? Yes. Yes, of course. All right, Simon. We'll go to your old mill.
This way, Oliver. Up this path.
Quasi!
What? Someone's coming.
The farmer. He seems to be looking for something.
Good evening. I'm looking for my cow. Have you seen her?
Well, what kind of a cow is she?
A brown and a white one with a crooked horn.
Wait. I hear her. She's grazing in a field on the other side of the woods. Hear her? That's almost a mile from here. I have good ears.
Good? You must have ears like a fox. But that field, that's the squire's. How did she get there?
You think someone took her? Who would?
Well, it's the squire's land, but he's the richest man around here. Why should he have taken my cow?
Wait a minute. Let me see. Yes. Yes, I do see someone with your cow. He's just leaving her.
You can see that? Right through the woods?
I have good eyes.
Who is it? What's he like? Is he tall, wearing a brown jacket?
Yes.
I knew it. It's the squire. He's trying to steal my cow. I'd better go get her. Thank you very much. Perhaps I'll see you both again.
Perhaps. We'll both be staying around here for a while there in the old mill.
Why did you tell him that, Oliver? Did you really see the squire taking his cow?
I saw what he wanted me to see.
What do you mean?
He hates the squire because the squire's rich and he's poor.
But what?
Never mind, Simon. Shall we go on to the mill?
Here we are. And it's just the way I knew it would be. Quiet, peaceful, no noises, just sound. And even those are dulled by the waterfall.
Yes, it's just the way I knew it would be, too. Dark, dank, the home of the rats and spiders. We'd be happy living here with them.
Happy with rats and spiders? Why?
Because they're like me. Rats see in the dark, and spiders spin webs.
I don't understand you, Oliver. Must you always see the worst, the most evil side of everything?
Always.
But why? Don't you love people? Don't you think that this is a good world?
A good world when I was blind for more than 2 years?
But whose fault was that?
What difference does that make? I was blind. And did anyone care that I was? No. Love people? I hate them.
But, Oliver, that's wrong. You've no right to hate anyone or anything.
What's that?
What? It sounds like wings, like... Yes, there it is, there. A swallow. Why, it's frightened, trying to get out. Why, it's beating itself against the wall and... Oh, poor thing, it hurt itself. Fallen to the ground. I'd better catch it.
Is it badly hurt?
No, I don't think so. Oh, just this one wing.
Here, let's see. Perhaps we can put a splint on it, heal it.
Do you think so? Here, Oliver. But be gentle. It's still terribly frightened.
I will.
Oh, Oliver! What are you doing to that bird?
Doing?
Blood, you crushed the swallow, killed it.
I have.
You killed it deliberately.
You think so? I told you we all have some badness deep inside us. Even you. Here you are ready to believe the worst of me, that I'd wantonly crush a harmless little sparrow to death and... Simon.
What is it?
I don't know, but there's something in your face. something that wasn't there before.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going up to bed.
Simon! Simon, wait!
It wasn't he that was blind. It was I. Well, he's bad, evil, clean through. He's like one of the spiders he loves so much, lurking here and spinning cunning webs to catch innocent people in. And what he saw in my face just now, there was something there. Something that wasn't there before. Death. Why did this have to happen to me? I was so happy just a little while ago. I loved everyone, the whole world. And now... now I have to kill him.
And here I am, friend. Raymond, your host in the inner sanctum, who also loves everyone. So, Simon has decided he must murder his companion. Not because he wants to, but in order to keep him from spreading the hate and evil he seems to love. That's a charming idea. But if Oliver's eyes are as good as he says they are, good enough to see death in Simon's face, how will he be able to do it, Quite a problem, isn't it?
Well, Raymond, everyone has problems. It's the answer that counts.
It certainly does, Mr. Herlihy, in a mystery drama.
Yes, and in a domestic drama, too. If you don't believe it, listen to what Agnes Vale says to her husband at the dinner table.
Oh, Bob, you haven't said a word about the cake, and I baked it especially for your birthday.
After 30, no one wants to be reminded of birthdays.
Oh, that's silly. Besides, a person's only as old as they feel.
Well, if that was the case, I'd be about 60.
You mean 90. No one could save up the grouch you've got in only 60 years.
If you felt as irritable, low, and out of sorts as I have lately, you'd be grouchy, too.
Of course I would. Anybody would. So the thing to do is not to feel that way.
What can anyone do about it?
Very simple, my dear. Try Carter's Little Liver Pills.
Right. And when you don't feel good, try Carter's Little Liver Pills. They do the work of calomel, but have no calomel in them. For they are simple pills made of vegetable drugs. They wake up the flow of one of our most vital digestive juices. When this vital juice flows at the rate of 2 pints a day, it helps to digest our food and bring back the glorious feeling that goes with regularity. Then most folks feel like happy days are here again. But be sure you get the genuine Carter's Little Liver Pill. Well, friends, are you sorry I advised you to sit down before? I thought not. You still want me to go on with the story of the Telltale Heart? Very well. It's a little later that same evening, and Simon is sitting in the upper story of the old deserted mill, waiting, listening.
Sleep, Oliver, sleep. Aren't you ever going to sleep? Oh, I know you're lying down. I heard you getting undressed. I even heard the thread snap when you pulled that button off your shirt. But you're not asleep yet. I can tell by your breathing, the way your heart's beating. And that's what I must wait for. The time when you're really asleep. When you close those hawk eyes that can see even in the dark. That could read murder in my face when I didn't know it was there myself. Wait a minute. There. Now you're asleep. And now I must go. Easy with the door. Careful. And even more careful going down the stairs. Shh! Don't creak like that. Suppose he wakes. No, he can't. He won't wake up. He can't. And even if he does... here we are. The door to his room. How shall I do it? Those sacks he's using as a pillow. If I pulled them out and held them over his face and smothered him, that's it, yes. And then I wouldn't have to touch him. I wouldn't...
Who's there? Who's there? There is someone there. I can see you. It's Simon.
Yes, it's Simon.
What do you want? What are you doing here? I know you've come to kill me.
Yes, Oliver. I've come to kill you.
Philip, You can't do that. You can't. You can't.
Yes, Oliver, I can. And I have to.
Frank.
Oh, please don't struggle like that. I'm stronger than you are. You can't get away from me. You can't. You can't. That noise. Hear it? It's your heart. Beating, pounding, driving the blood through your veins. Beating more slowly now. Slower and fainter. Running down like a tired clock. And I'm not going to let you go until it's stopped. So don't struggle. Don't struggle, please. Just a few seconds more. I can hardly hear it now. Just a faint, throbbing murmur. And now, even that's gone. Yes, it stopped. And you're dead. Oliver, listen. I didn't want to do it. I didn't, but I had to. You were only interested in hurting people. That's why I had to do it. And that's why I'm not going to give myself up or confess that I killed you, because I can still help people. You understand, don't you? That's why I must get rid of your body, hide it somewhere. Oh, what am I to do with you? I know. I'll keep you here, tear up the floor and hide you underneath it. Yeah. Let's see now, this crowbar. And this one here, there. That should be big enough. And now, in you go. Goodbye, Oliver. Goodbye. Just put these boards back. Nail them down again with the same rusty nails. And it's done. Now I'll spread this dust over the cracks. No one will be able to tell what I've done. No, not even with your eyes. If you could still use them. What's that? A light. A lantern outside. Someone at the door. Maybe Christie's come back again.
Yes? Who is it?
It's Trent, the constable.
The constable? What do you want?
Oh, nothing much. Thought I'd drop in. Say hello.
Come in, Constable. Come right in.
Thanks. Great time of night to be visiting, but there were strangers living out here, and I thought I might...
Why, of course, it's part of your job to investigate strangers, isn't it?
Yeah, in a way. Not that you're a stranger, exactly.
What do you mean?
Well, you've been around here for some time, haven't you? Up at Dr. Adair's place in the hill, I mean?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. I just left there this afternoon.
Uh-huh. And your friend, where is he? Sleeping?
Friend? Why, there's no one here with me. I'm all alone.
But the doctor said... You mind if I look around?
No, of course not.
Not that I doubt your word or anything like that.
Oh, now, don't apologize, Constable. Go right ahead. Well, Constable?
There's certainly no sign of anyone else.
Well, I told you so.
Yes, you did. Now, I'll just sit down here for a minute. My pipe going.
No, no, not there. Don't sit there.
Why not?
Because, well, it was just that the floor looked a little rotten right there, and I was afraid that... Oh, I guess it's all right.
Sure. Strong enough to hold me, anyway.
Don't stop me if I catch you. Good heavens. What's that?
What's what?
That throbbing. That noise. Beating away like...
I don't hear any noise.
But you must, you... Ah, those ears of mine. Sometimes they're too good. It's just your watch ticking.
Watch? I haven't got a watch on me.
You haven't? But then what? Oh, look, Constable, I could use a bit of exercise. Suppose I walk you back to the village.
Well, that's mighty nice of you. I'm glad to have your company. no hurry, is there? Just let's sit here for a while. And...
I don't want to sit. Constable, will you come now? Now, this minute, if you don't, I don't know what I'll do.
Hey, you have gotten yourself into a state. Is anything the matter?
Oh, no, of course not. It's just that I get nervous, restless, and you won't mind if I walk up and down right here, will you?
If it'll make you feel any better, go ahead.
Thank you. This floor, it is noisy, isn't it? It's noisy enough. Constable, this lever here, I've been wondering about it. What's it for, you know?
Yes, I think it opens the sluice, starts the mill wheel turning.
It does? Then let's try it. See if it still works. There.
Yeah, it works all right. Quite a racket, too.
Still not loud enough. Still. Constable, by heaven's sake, will you come now and leave here with me? If you don't, I'll go back.
Hey, look, there's no need to get so excited.
I'm not excited. I'm perfectly calm and quiet. Will you come now right away?
But I told you.
I know what you're doing. Sitting there, pretending you haven't heard, making me stay here and listen to it, beating louder and louder and louder. All right, I confess. I killed him. His body is right underneath you, under the floor. I killed him. And that noise you hear is his heart. The beating of his telltale heart.
Hello, Dr. Adair.
Oh, Constable, hello. Well, did you find them?
Yes, Doctor. I'm glad. Some of my boys will be bringing the other one, Oliver, along in a little while.
Bringing him? Is it matter with him?
Well, sort of. They were in the old mill by the river. Simon had evidently tried to kill Oliver, but he hadn't done a good job of it. He nailed him up underneath the floor. And when we got him out, he was unconscious. And he's still pretty weak.
I see. Bring Simon in, will you?
Sure. All right, Simon. In here.
Yes, Constable.
Now, turn him around so that he's facing me. That's it. Well, hello, Simon.
Hello, Doctor.
Simon, why did you run away from here this afternoon?
Run away? I didn't run away. I left. What need was there for me to stay when I was cured?
And what you did, or rather tried to do, to Oliver?
That was wrong. I know it was wrong, but I had to do it. He was bad, Doctor, bad. He hated everyone, wanted to hurt them, and I couldn't let him.
You know, it's strange, Constable. Two men, both mental cases because of a sudden affliction. But while Oliver's blindness made him hate, Simon's deafness filled him with love for all mankind.
Deafness? You mean he's deaf? But when you talk to him, he answers you.
Yes, he reads lips. That's why I had you turn him around, so he was facing me. But he's stone deaf. He will never hear again.
What's that you're saying? Deaf? But I'm not deaf. Why, there's no one can hear better than I. No one. I heard everything when I left here. Things no man has ever heard before. The song of the swan. The breathing of the fish. Why, I even heard the beating of Oliver's heart. After I'd killed him.
Yes, Simon. Of course.
I'm not deaf, I tell you. I'm not.
So, Simon did hear all the things he said he did, even the beating of the telltale heart. And not with his ears, but with something else deep inside his poor, sick brain. Speaking of telltale hearts... I saw it's not hard at all. It's just Mr. Herlihy's knees knocking together.
And if you think you're kidding, Raymond, you're crazy.
Oh, I'm not kidding, Ed. And Mr. Carlisle's audiences, that's the equivalent of applause. since everyone's generally much too scared to show the usual approval with their hands. So we won't take any chances. We'll just use words and say, thanks, Boris Karloff, for your splendid performance of tonight's dramatization of Poe's The Telltale Heart.
It was a pleasure, Raymond, to be able to bring our friends one of the world's most famous stories. And I'm very grateful to Everett Sloane as Oliver and Santos Ortiaga, who played Christie, for the help that they gave me. So now, I suggest that you listen to Ed Herlihy, who has some helpful advice for which you may be very grateful.
This is Raymond again, your host, getting ready to close that door to the inner sanctum and say goodnight until the same time next week. In the meantime, if you care to do a little bloodthirsty reading, try this month's inner sanctum novel, I'll Eat You Last, by H.C. Brandon. In case you've already read that, why not try some of the other stories by the author of tonight's mystery drama, Edgar Allan Poe? According to all critics, this writer has quite a future. Have a good night. Pleasant dreams.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries will be on the air again next Sunday night, same station, same time, with another chiller for thriller fans. So be with us then. This is Ed Herlihy, speaking for the makers of Carter's Little Liver Pills and reminding you, when you don't feel good, try Carter's Little Liver Pills, the best friend to your sunny disposition.
This is the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, once again, I want to remind you to go to neverlandpodcast.com. And we want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction of the show. We do still have our email address, podcast at neverlandpodcast.com. We're on Twitter or X at neverlandpcast. We're on Facebook. Just search for Neverland Podcast. I believe you can search for the Fandom Nexus. You should be able to find us. We have a group and we have our fan page that you can like. I recommend doing both, but especially in the group, because the group is where it's more easier to interact and I can share things a little easier into the group. I don't have to log into a different profile on the like I do on the fan page. So that's also, you know, new episodes. I'll post stuff about new episodes and stuff like that and different things that I find that I think is neat and kind of retro. Of course, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. There, of course, I've got stuff for both this show and the Watching Movies with My Pastor, which once again, I'm going to recommend you go check that out because I think you will enjoy it. Also, if you look there in the show notes, you'll find a link for becoming an exclusive member on Red Circle, where I host this show. And exclusive members also get the benefits of a Patreon member as well as, you know, so you get some bonus content when I record like some trailers or whatever. It'll be in there. And of course, it gives you a way that you can help out the show, which of course also means you don't have to hear the ads that I put in the show, because right now the ads are the way that I'm paying for this show. So you do have some options if you don't want to hear those ads in the show. You just have to hear me reading them. But that's where we're going to wrap up the show. We're going to have some more fun next week, so come back. But until then, get lost in an adventure. And I'll see you next time. Unless I get no clipped into the back rooms.